Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Hermúdez Marín y a todos los ministros, hermanos y hermanas.
Good afternoon. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters who are gathered today, Friday, May 2nd of this year 2025. And for everyone connected to the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8. Today, Bible Study Friday, in which we have the subject, Be Not Afraid, Neither Be Thou Dismayed, preached Saturday, November 19th of 2016 by Dr. William Soto Santiago in Villahermosa, Tabasco, Mexico. Let us read the scripture of Joshua in chapter 1, verse 1 and on, where he tells us, Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, and he shall starve David on the left. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee, and will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. There in between he writes, Revelation 10:1-11, 5:1-10. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And there he writes, Revelation 10:8-11. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And he draws a star of David on the right. And below he writes, Revelation 1:1, 7 verse 2, 10:8-11, 11:3-6, 22:6, and 22:16. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. You may please be seated. In the message, Time of Trouble and Deliverance, preached on December 26, 1999, in Calle, Puerto Rico, Dr. William Soto tells us, And the devil through the Antichrist, the man of sin, the beast, rising up against the work of Christ at the last day, will be today's fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12, of what happened in heaven, happening on earth in the midst of Christianity, and therefore, in the midst of the human race. In the book of Revelation, on the 12th chapter, which is the scripture that Dr. William Soto made reference to, in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. There he draws a cornerstone, the ages. And in the ages, it's a like he circles all the ages below, and in the cornerstone, he also circles the cornerstone and draws rays. Now let us go on to verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now notice, by the devil being cast out, where in the book of the seals, Brother Branham shows us on page 168 on the book of the seals, where he tells us, and at the same time that the devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes down, incarnate man. Now, in the scripture, is fulfilled, and it has multiple fulfillments. Because notice, let me see if I can find here. In the book of the seals, the unedited one, which has a black cover, the translation there, when you search for the original, the audio, there Brother Branham says, in this version he says, and at the same time that this devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, the Holy Spirit goes up and comes down incarnate man. Now notice, from age to age, he came incarnate in the messenger of each age. And there you have the men of God, the instruments of God, the messengers of God. But notice that both are right, because at this end time, the Holy Spirit would be incarnate in all of its fullness in each son and daughter of God. And there they are represented in what our Brother Branham is saying, because the Holy Spirit comes in the messenger, which is where on page 154 our Brother Branham says that becomes incarnate, and there he says that we'll crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this same Holy Spirit becomes fully incarnate in the elect of God, and they, those of that time, comes to be the subjects of the Lord in His second coming. As they told Brother Branham there, then we'll come back to earth and we will be your subjects. See? Now, just like here in this 12th chapter, it shows us that the devil is cast out. And what we read there, when that spirit of the devil, of Satan, is cast out, notice, it becomes incarnate, so that the devil can carry out the work that corresponds for the devil to do in his last move. In other words, in his final strike against the bride, before the marriage supper of the Lamb begins. Because then he turns to the foolish and the 144,000. But notice that from age to age, he has been able to enter and do harm, but not in the age of the cornerstone. No. Now, the other coup that will try to cause will be after the millennium. Now notice, when the devil is cast out, he becomes incarnate, as we read there. At the same time that this devil falls out of heaven and becomes incarnate in a man, likewise notice the Holy Spirit comes up from age to age, because the kingdom of the Gentiles goes down from a head of gold, from that statue that King Nebuchadnezzar saw, which was interpreted by the prophet Daniel. It goes down, and then is worth merely a bit of iron and clay. But notice, the Church of the Lord, which is that kingdom, continues rising, and it reaches the last part, which is at the top part, which is the one of gold, which shows us that the kingdom of the Gentiles will be destroyed. Because what are some legs of iron and clay worth? They're not worth anything. Some feet aren't worth anything. That's where that stone cut out without hand smites it. And he breaks in pieces all those parts that were shown in that statue. They are all broken to pieces. And notice how, just as the devil becomes incarnate, the ones that are cast out, which are the fallen angels, they also become incarnate. And there you can see the enemy's side and God's side, and the elect of God, where the Holy Spirit also becomes incarnate. Now, here in verse 9 it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, in the book of quotations, he tells us that the devil must have someone to work in, because otherwise, he cannot do any harm, unless he has someone to work with. Page. Let us see if it is 62. Page 62, paragraph 547. So much as we have here, a devil is almost harmless unless he can have something to work in. There on top he writes, the devil can't do harm if he has no one to work with. He's got, you remember those devils that were cast out of Legion. They want to do more mischievousness, so they wanted to go in the hogs. So devils must have something to work in. Here on the side, he writes, the serpent. In other words, where the devil worked throughout the entire past in the time of Eden. The serpent, Cain, Judas, the Antichrist, the beast. And he writes several scriptures there. Somebody to work through. And that's the way God does too. See what we are speaking about. He has to have us. He depends on us to work through us. And above he writes, the head needs a body to work. The devil needs a body to work in. And that is the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin. And the head on God's side, well, also needs a body, a human being in whom to work. Here in the scripture, in chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, he writes upward, the whole world is being deceived. And he writes Revelation 13, verse 14, 9, verse 1, and 9, verse 11. We continue on verse 10 of chapter 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. And on top he writes Revelation 11, verse 15. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. On day and night he circles that. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There he writes Revelation 5, 9 to 10. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And he drew a star of David. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. Now notice what that manifestation of the lineage of the devil is like, and what God's is like. Because a spirit has to have a tangible body to work in, to manifest itself. Now, let's go back to the message, Time of Trouble and Deliverance. Dr. William Soto continues to say, the Reverend William Branham once had a dream or a vision where he saw a serpent chasing one of his brothers or friend. And that is none other than the old serpent, the devil, Satan, at the last day, bringing down that squeeze and persecuting the anointed one of the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecuting who? The anointed one of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice how he places these scriptures here. Because this, if you turn to Revelation 22:6 and Revelation 22:16, you can see those scriptures being fulfilled in certain stages of the divine program, and how they are completely fulfilled at this end time. Because the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, at this end time, would be incarnate in that last instrument. And there is where this vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham would be fully fulfilled, because the other messengers already left, and the devil can no longer persecute any human being whose days have ended on this earth and goes to paradise, to the sixth dimension, to rest. No one can suffer any harm there. And when they return in eternal and glorified bodies and are with us, none of those who have their glorified bodies in the resurrection can suffer any harm. Therefore, in that scripture, that prophecy will not be fulfilled in any of those who have already departed. It is fulfilled in those who are alive, the elect, who have come up at this end time to the age of the cornerstone, and it is completely fulfilled in the Anointed One. Bringing down that squeeze and persecuting the Anointed One of the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the group of the last day who will be with the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see? In other words, that attack, let us see there on page 60, so that you can see what we are talking about here, referring to that dream. Page 60, paragraph 527, it says, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, I suppose. I had gotten up, and I looked where in front of me, and I was coming down to the Jordan. Above he writes, Jordan equals death, Palestine equals all the promises. Looked like I was standing on the map of Palestine, and I was coming down to the Jordan, and seemed like I could hear the song, I'm going down to the Jordan. There he drew a star of David to the left. Someone was singing it. And as I drew near the river, I looked back and seen which way I had come. And I was 2/3 of the way there to the Jordan. And I looked across the Jordan and I said, oh, praise God. just on the other side is where all promises lay. Every promise lays in the promised land. There he drew a Star of David. And also a little cornerstone and another Star of David. It's between those two paragraphs, that is, between the two parts of that page. They're on the right of what we are reading. And at the top, below Palestine equals all the promises, he writes, narrow highway. And then I come to myself. Then when I come into the vision again, it seemed that I was lifted up and sitting on a highway, a narrow highway, with some brother. I never knew who the brother was. There, I never knew who the brother was. He underlines all of that, and an arrow is brought out at the end, and he draws a Star of David. In other words, notice that brother was the one with the ministry of Moses and Elijah. I looked around, I said, now I'm sure, I know this is a vision. The Lord God is here. And seemed like everybody was afraid. Now notice what we're talking about. I said, what's everybody so afraid of? He drew a Star of David on the left. And a voice came and said, there is such a danger in these days. There's a great hideous thing that's death when it strikes you. And I heard the weeds mashing down. And I looked, and here come a huge monster snake crawling through the weeds. And I thought, now, knowing this is a vision, then I shall see what this animal or this beast is. And he crawled up on the highway. And as soon as I got sight of him, I knew it was a mamba. Notice that she was crawling through the weeds and could not be seen. Let's say when some animal is coming, it is like when you're in a plain where there are weeds, and you can only see the weeds moving at the top. And when it moves, you can see the top moving, but you do not know what it is. It could be a squirrel, could be a rabbit, it could even be a lion or a tiger, because if the weed is tall, you can't see it. Something is moving down there. You can't distinguish what makes that move. But it's something, something living, something that moves. Now notice how from age to age, the tares could not be uprooted, because it wasn't known what was tares and who was wheat, because he said so. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the end of time I will send the reapers. They would actually know and be able to make that separation, that segregation between right and wrong. And who is the one that does it? The angel of the Lord, sees the Holy Spirit. There is where one recognizes who is wheat and who is tares. While it was in the weeds, among the bushes, but it kept moving. In other words, it was using people. But one could not identify who was the one that the spirit of the devil was carrying out that work at that time. And who was the spirit of God? Who had the spirit of God working at that time? Because he said that they might have reaped the wheat. If they might have reaped the wheat, that's because he didn't know. That messenger did not know who was who. Who is who. But when Brother Branham here in the vision says that he managed to see, that is when he saw it. And as soon as I got sight of him, why? Because she reached the highway, and they're on the highway where she is going to hide. It was left exposed there. When he goes to the highway, he says, and as soon as I got sight of him, I knew it was a mamba. There the spirit of Elijah in his fifth manifestation as one of the two olive trees. Notice the reaping angels are already there seeing it. They can already identify who is who. And the snake, of course, represents sin, death. Above he writes, serpent equals sin, death equals 666. So I looked at him, and he looked angry at me. Angry at me, there he draws Star of David on the left. Anybody would get mad for being exposed or uncovered by the one who exposed it or uncovers it. And he licked his tongue, and here he come. But when he got right close to me, he would run up fast, and then he would get slower and slower and just quiver and stop. And then something would hold him off. He couldn't bite me. Why couldn't he bite him? Because in the ministry of the fourth Elijah, in the Reverend William Branham, by that time he's already in the sixth dimension. That is why he couldn't be touched. Nor can he touch Dr. William Soto Santiago, because they're already there and nothing. There's a barrier. Which barrier is it? Remember when the rich man and Lazarus were there? That a deep separated them. That's when the sacrifice had not been carried out yet. Notice, always in the divine plan, in the divine program, in those stages like that, where the types and figures were shown, they are showing what would happen later on in reality. There was a deep there. The rich man could not reach Lazarus, nor could Lazarus reach the rich man. Something was separating them. And now we see that something at this time, which is that dimension, to where if the person dies, then he can go there. And he would turn around on the other side, try to approach from this side. And he would get back and get a start and switch right towards me. Get slower and slower and slower, and then to a stop. See? And then he would shake like that and move back. He couldn't strike me. Then he turned and looked at my friend. Now by turning, there it is again at the part where he can. And I seen my friend just jumping way in the air. And there he writes, friend. He wrote it to the left. And the thing was striking at him. But notice, he couldn't strike Brother Branham. But he could, the friend, he could strike him. In other words, he was alive. He was in that human body. There in the vision, those two bodies could be seen. One that could strike it, and the other one that couldn't strike it. One had already departed, and the other one was on earth. I thought, oh, if it ever hits him, it'll be instant death. No wonder everybody is so scared. Because when this thing hits you, it's an instant death. And it was just striking at him like that. Even look. If one can see, in the first coming of the Lord, and put that as something somewhat tangible, visible, or understandable. Remember, the devil uses his instruments, human beings. But notice, in the first coming of the Lord, back then with those animals that the devils was using, the soldiers and all of them, what did they do to him? They whipped him. They put a blindfold on his face and they said, let's see, tell us, who smote you? So notice, they were tempting him, threatening him. And they were just about to hit him, which is death. If he smote him, that would mean death. And notice, he smote him, And it was death. But that was the greatest defeat that the devil ever had. But now notice. And it was just striking at him like that. And I threw my hands up. I said, "Oh God, have mercy on my brother." I said, "If that serpent ever strikes him, it'll kill him." And just then the serpent turned to me when I said that. And looked at me again. And a voice came from above me and said, "You have been given power to bind him, the worst or any." Now notice, there he is speaking to the ministry of Elijah in his fifth manifestation. Because the ministry of Elijah in his fourth manifestation was operated in him. And that power is the one that the fifth Elijah will have at this end time. To bind, because the power has been given to him. On page 105, from the book of quotations, paragraph 912, he tells us, "It was he that night when I was going down that road and seeing that big mamba snake about to get my brother. And he said, 'You've been given power to bind him or any of the rest of them.'" In other words, the beast and also all his armies. He says that he will stand and bind the tares, and they are cast into the fire, and the wheat is placed in the storehouse. It was he that said that to my little gray-headed wife sitting back there. It was he that morning that woke me up there in the room and stand in the corner said, "Don't fear to do anything or go anywhere or say anything, for the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go." Oh, those words were so beautiful to me and motivating and encouraging, where the words that were spoken to Joshua, it was himself. And the same words that he said to me, "Only be strong and of good courage." Notice how the scriptures have multiple fulfillments. It was he up yonder in Sabino Canyon about 3 months ago when I was praying, wondering what was going to happen. I was standing there and a sword dropped in my hand and said, "There he writes sword on the right. This is the king's sword." It was he. It was he that said to me, "As I was with Moses, so I'll send you." And he writes above, "My presence will go with you." The friend or brother of William Marion Branham that the serpent tried to bite. "My presence will go with you." The friend or brother of William Marion Branham, he abbreviated it there, WMB, that the serpent tried to bite. And below he writes, "The sword in the king's hand." And below the sword in the king's hand, he writes, "That's how it falls into the hands of the angel of Jesus." That's how it falls into the hands of the angel of Jesus. Of whom? Of that last instrument, of that last messenger, in whom the Holy Spirit would be at this end time. Now, notice that all of that, when he says that, "As I was with Moses," which he said that to him, "so do I command you." And he told him not to fear, because the presence of Jesus would never fail him. All of that, notice, he in the book of the seals says, "You'll have to take my word for it." Now, at this time, notice, they sometimes ask, "But will you already say what he told you?" Well, I have said it. And instead, what they say is, "That's not He didn't say anything to him. Or he's making that up. Or that is something that he has there to, so that the people believe him. There he said, you'll have to take my word for it. Now, he who doesn't believe, that's because he's not an elect of God. As simple as that. The unbeliever will always look for many ways to not believe. But since the blessing that God has at this time, which is the transformation of the bodies, is not for unbelievers, well, those unbelievers must be manifested that way, by not believing what God is carrying out. And then what they do is fight against it, because that is the work of the fallen angels, who becomes incarnate in these people at this end time, to begin to sow tares and to sow hate and all those things, so that the elect of God don't receive the blessings. That's the work of the devil and those fallen angels. On page 8b, paragraph 77, there he tells us, with some details where we are reading, perhaps he didn't, they're not there. Let us see here. It says, about 2 or 3 months ago, I was standing in the room and I heard a voice speaking in the corner, and I tried to wake my wife to look at it there. There, it's been going before there, was a hideous thing standing there at the bed, accusing me. After he had told me, I had seen a big mamba running. That's an African snake. And he was trying to kill people and was after my brother. And I screamed out, oh God, what can I do? And he said, you've been given power to bind him. And he writes, kill him. Now notice, on page 91, paragraph 792. He says, now remember, in the first age was a lion age. That was the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ. His own influence of life taken that age. That's the first beast, which means power, that answered by human voice. And he draws Star of David on the right. And he writes, lion equals power through human voice. Which was the power that was given there to the Reverend William Branham in that vision, which is being shown, represented in that ministry of Elijah in his fifth manifestation, along with the one of Moses? That power is the word, is the title deed, which is given to him, and the lion of the tribe of Judah is manifested in his coming, because he comes in his coming in that claiming work as the lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now he goes on to say, I am on 8b, paragraph 77. He said, you've been given power to bind him. And he writes on top, kill him. Said, be of good courage. See, he is encouraging him there. Be strong, be courageous. I spoke to him, and his tail went up in the air and whirled around, and just like this picture, handle here, and choked herself to death. Blue smoke flew out of him after his brother, where it says, after my brother, there on the left, upward, he had put, after his brother. And on the right, there he writes, blue smoke. And like two symbols, like a backwards snake, backwards S. Next morning when I woke up, I was laying there. I said, I better get up and take the children to school. I look over and there was this hideous looking thing. Looked like it was alley-oop in the funny paper. Great big horns sticking out of it. He was going, sounded like a hen cackling or singing, like they're going from the barn. I looked at it. I said, Meda, Meda, honey. And she didn't wake up. I thought, yeah, that scared her to death. I waited there just a minute. And I waited there just a minute and stand and watch. People talk about devils and don't even know what they are sometimes. That's right. But you run headlong onto them every day. Maybe, but you will. Notice, after a while, he was accusing me, said, you have no power with God. Notice, there Brother Branham is already showing and is representing, typifying that friend. Because you have to see that vision when he speaks to the fourth Elijah and when he's speaking to the fifth Elijah. You're a bluff. You have no power. There below he writes, you must be born again. I said, Satan, you're an offense to me. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus Christ. And he left. I lay there a little bit in bed, started to rise up. I felt a real sweet feeling come over me. I thought, wonder if the Holy Spirit now is close and over in the corner. So help me. Here is my Bible over my heart. The sweetest voice I ever heard in my life said, don't fear to go anywhere. Oh, I heard that sweet voice just as he says. And don't fear to do anything. But remember that Brother Branham had it there. And of that light, he says, on one occasion when he says that he was in the room, Billy Paul and his brother were sleeping, and that light appeared to him. He says that that angel came from that light. This is when he said, can I woke them up so that they can see you? And the angel said, no, only wake up Billy. Now, over here, that angel spoke by human voice and was in the midst of the people. And notice, there, those beautiful words telling me not to fear, that he would be with me wherever I went. Says, don't fear to go anywhere. And don't fear to do anything, for the never-failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go. There he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And there he writes below, the presence of Jesus Christ will be with you wherever you go. And notice on page 66, paragraph 576, he says, just before I went out there, how many remember me repeating it here, that a voice came to me in the room one morning after a vision and said about, told about the serpent and it being bound and not to fear anything? He said, do not fear, said, haven't I proven to be with you wherever you go? Said, haven't I proved to be with you on your hunting trips? Remember when I told you about what I was going to get, for I left and all that? See? Said, haven't I proved to be with you? Then a real sweet voice came, said, the never failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go. And there he draws Star of David on the right. And I know by that we're moving up to something. I don't know what it is. I can't say. Now notice the paragraph that we are reading on page 60, paragraph 527, where we paused. It's about halfway down the page. You have been given power to bind him, the worst or any. There he writes, Revelation 13, 1 to 18. He wrote it to the left. and 17:11-18, and said, "You have been given power to bind him, the worst or any." And I said, "Well, God, what must I do?" And he said, "There is one thing you must do. You must be more sincere. See, you must be more sincere." And I said, "Well, God, forgive me for my own sincerity, and let me have sincerity." And when I raised up my hands to him again, there was a great something come over me. Just lift me up. Seemed like that my whole body was changed with something. And I looked at the serpent, and then he started towards me, and he couldn't do it yet. And I said, "Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you." And the serpent, a blue smoke flew out of him, and he curled up and made that sign like an S, capital S, made backwards, an E sign. And it means bind this one or anything below him, because he was the worst. Blue smoke, there on the left, he writes blue. Blue smoke fell out of him, and his tail choked his own self to death around his head when he made this backward S. There he draws a backward S, then he writes the E, and that E sign like a conjunction, choke it to death. Further up, he draws the S right, and below he draws a backward S, and below the backward S, he writes E, choke it to death, and the brother was free. And when I went over and mashed on it, I said, "Now I've got to find out about this, because it's a vision." Now notice he says, "Now I've got to find out about this." But look on page 165, on paragraph 1468. There he says, "Go to your church, what you're supposed to do. But just don't join up with them organizations, because one day I'll be telling you and prove it by the scripture, it is the mark of the beast. And you just remember, it's the mark. I'm preaching. I wouldn't preach it in Brother Jack's church. He'll tell me, go ahead and do it. But I'm going to the tabernacle. It'll be about 4 hours long. And my subject is the beast at the beginning," and he writes the serpent, "and the beast at the end, through the trail of a serpent." See, it takes about 4 hours. I got my scriptures all laying out. The beast from the beginning, he was the beast at the Garden of Eden. He's the beast at the end, and shows that he's a religious person. And there he writes 666. And a denomination that made the denomination. And come right through the trail of it, and prove it to you by the scriptures that it is. I didn't know that till the Holy Spirit gave it to me the other day up there. There the fourth Elijah is speaking. Therefore the ministry of the fifth Elijah, because remember that when he was in the car, when he had the accident, he had spoken there that he was going to preach about the serpent's trail, about the serpent's path, and that also in that conversation they spoke there. There he says that people were going to betray him. Friends. And notice how in this time, people that you considered friends are those who are against the fulfillment of the tenth vision. And it is sad to say that. But notice, it's the time when all of that is being exposed. Now, also back then, when Judas, remember, went with a kiss, and he said to him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" But look, despite knowing what he was going to do, he called him friend. When on Psalm, there David tells us the way that he... Let us look for that part there, which says, you, my friend, we took counsel together in the house of God. Let us search it. Where that part is. It should be around Psalm 55. Verse 12 says, look, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked unto the house of God in company. Notice, today, all of you are hearing the elect of God, the children of God. Everything that God has given us in this teaching under the tent. But those who are against the divine program and the fulfillment of the tent vision are also listening. And this scripture, notice, here the Spirit of God is speaking through David. Speaking directly to those people, therefore those people hear. And by hearing, this scripture goes directly to them. Because when he said, it was thou, yes, you who hears me, who is there listening, because they have to identify themselves by receiving all that those ministries are speaking. Because the word is the one that makes the segregation. And the word is the one that identifies them. And thou, it says, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. There he's speaking directly to them, directly to those where the scripture is fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord, and it is also fulfilled in this end time. Now, on page 167, from paragraph 1487, there he also tells us about this. He says, see, because somebody that wasn't a Methodist was going to offer prayer for a dying woman, which she was too, but because it wasn't associated in her own organization, she didn't even want to hear it or have nothing to do with it. If that ain't a Pharisee, I never seen one. Wait till you hear the trail of the serpent. And there he writes, the trajectory, the path. In other words, to identify that serpent, which comes from the beginning, to identify that trajectory at this end time, which we have been seeing it throughout all studies, and each time is clearer, that serpent's trail, and in whom the serpent works at each time, and in whom is working at this time, and in whom it will be working in all of its fullness, in the beast, in the man of sin, in the Antichrist. Which, notice, by that world council of churches coming together, which all of that is already well underway, it is the final war to try to destroy the anointed one and the group that comes with him. Now notice that later, on Revelation 19, how that scripture is fulfilled, which is being fulfilled when Revelation 11 is fulfilled. At the end of that work that he's carrying out After 3 days, it says that the Spirit of God will return to them and all the things that will be happening there. But notice that once he returns with all those of the sixth dimension who are going to resurrect. And that is the mighty army. And by they thinking that they had already eliminated one. And oh my, those who will come are going to be there, plus those who are alive who will be transformed. And now, they thought that by killing one, they will solve everything. But that's when, like, I don't know if you've seen that sometimes an ant, a little ant, is smashed. And you can see that there weren't any, and suddenly a bunch of them appear. Where did so many ants come from? Now notice, in what? He goes on to say here, where we paused on page 60, he says, and I hit on the thing, and it turned like that. Looked like a handle, on a glass handle on a pitcher. And he writes, it melted, and just made it solid crystal. And I said, think of that, how quick. That blue smoke was life and everything. He left it, all the elements, and it's turned to glass. And again he writes, it melted. And just then a voice came again and said, you can unbind him also. There he writes on the right upward, blue smoke. So I said, then Satan, that I might know, I unbind you. And when he did, he started coming to life again, wiggling. And I said, I bind you back in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he did, the smoke flew out of him again. And he choked himself right back again and turned to crystal. And then, when he did that, that voice said, now you must be more sincere than what you are to do this. Now notice on page 69, paragraph 598, he says there, someone even laughed at me when the Lord came here not long ago and gave me a vision. I always wanted to see about binding that serpent. I always wondered how to. I should step out like that, when that's what I've wanted all my life. Then I began to fast and pray. Said, what do you do that for? That is the person who laughed at him. I said, in there, he said I was not sincere enough. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And above he writes, binding serpent. Now he goes on to say here, I'm going back to 60. Then he left me. Years ago, when I seen the Bible come down, I got it wrote right here. And he writes, Revelation 10, verse 7. Come down, and a hand came from heaven and pointed down to Joshua and read the first 9 verses and stopped there. That's Joshua come to the wilderness, but never did he was ready. Let us turn here for a moment to page 7 of the seals. Page 472. And also, Let us turn to 360. Notice, he says, 360. We start reading there. Notice when Elijah, when he comes to fulfill his ministry in Malachi 4, see, as Malachi 4, Elijah was by himself. But when he comes to minister to the Jews of Revelation 11, he has Moses with him. He writes Elijah and Moses. So there is no confusion, not a bit. See, get it? But the same inspiration that said Elijah will come for the last part of the church age to restore the faith of the children back to the original faith of the fathers, the apostolic faith, which you're supposed to go back. And the Antichrist had got them all pulled out to restore back, as all the rest of the scriptures has blended together, see? He comes by himself, see? But when he comes to the 144,000, the Bible plainly states that both, there is two of them, not one of them, two of them. But when he comes to the 144,000, the Bible plainly states that both, there is two of them, not one of them, two of them. In other words, the two ministries. And his first ministry couldn't take the Jews and put them back to the law, because he comes preaching Christ to the 144,000. Amen. There he is, that Messiah that was cut off. Amen. That's it. So don't have it confused. It's not confusion. There on the left he writes, the second coming and the first coming of Christ. The scripture don't lie, not a bit. Glory, oh, when I seen that, I was jumping up. I said, thank you, Lord. When I was watching it take place out there, seeing that Elijah walk out there for that first stage by himself, and he was by himself. Then when I seen him come again, and there he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Then when I seen him come again, way on over to somewhere else, there was two of them, there when that took place. Said, there it is. That does it, Lord. Amen. I see it now. Hallelujah. That's exactly. If I hadn't have mentioned it, it'd been a little confusing to somebody. But he told me to mention it, so I did. Notice, these men are kept alive by God from their original ministry for future service. They serve it so well, see? Just think. That spirit of Elijah ministers five times, Moses too. What? Keep alive for further service. They were neither one of them dead now. Don't you believe that? They were both seen alive, talking to Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. But remember, they must die. Now, Moses actually died, but he rose, because he was a perfect type of Christ, see? Nobody ever knew where he was buried. The angels come took him, see? He had an angel, pallbearer. Why? No mortal man could pack him where he was going. He just went through an act, that's all. He had angels, pallbearers, see? Because they took him where he was supposed to be. No one knows. Even to Satan didn't even know. He disputed with the archangel, and he writes, Michael. That's right. He couldn't understand what happened to Moses. There on the left, he writes, Archangel Michael. I seen him trembling over there, and looking out over the land, and looking back to the children, and so forth. And he writes, Moses, on the left. I seen him trembling, but he stepped up on the rock. And he writes, Christ. And that was the last time I saw him. But notice in the red book, there on the top, on paragraph where he says, it's not confusion, on that paragraph when he says, then when I see him come again, there was two of them, and there he writes, Moses and Elijah, preaching Christ today. Now notice how in 2000 around there, there is an excerpt where our brother William, which we have read, he says that they would be baptized by ministers and that they would be baptized by the messenger of the age of the cornerstone. We've read it. Let's see if we can find it. Baptized by ministers and by the messenger of the age of the cornerstone. If you can find it, we can then place it. We can place that excerpt in the study. Now notice, on the second paragraph on that page 314, where he says, these men are kept alive by God. Above that he writes, in the sixth dimension. And from there upward, on the right side, he writes upward, Elijah returns with Moses. And where he says, these men are kept alive by God from their original ministry for future service. Above future service, he writes 50 Laja and 2 Moses. And also, on the left side, he writes upward in that paragraph, the one that I'm reading, which says, where he says, notice, in that paragraph in the middle, he writes there, the 5 Elijahs, the 2 Moseses, it is the ministerial spirit. It is not that they, in the bodies where the ministry of Elijah worked in his first manifestation, or his second manifestation, or his third manifestation, or his fourth manifestation, or the ministry of Moses in his first manifestation, none of those bodies are going to come back to work and fulfill all of this. Rather, it is the ministry that the Holy Spirit was operating in them. Here is the one about what I told you. It's from the message, the great voice of the trumpet in the Exodus of the last day, preached on January 9th of 2000. He says, I want to tell you that a stage is coming. It seems to be starting, where you are going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the age of the cornerstone, and by ministers of the age of the cornerstone, along with the messenger of the age of the cornerstone. Thousands of people are going to be baptized. And notice, those baptisms were carried out then, under the dispensation of grace, by the ministers and also by that messenger of the age of the cornerstone, which those baptisms were starting there in 2000, and by 2002, when he was anointed there to carry out that work, notice, he began with baptisms, baptizing. That same day, he carried out baptisms. See how simple God fulfills everything in his program? That if we do not watch, we will overlook all those details. Now, he continues saying there, where we paused on page 60, then he left me, years ago. Let us see where we paused here. But let us read it all straight down. Years ago, when I seen the Bible come down, I got it wrote right here. That's where he writes Revelation 10:7. And read the first 9 verses and stopped there, that Joshua came to the wilderness, but never did. He was ready to. When he got near Jordan, God called him out. Said, this day I'll begin to magnify you before the people. And then he took the children of Israel across Jordan to the land where given them, divided to them the promised land. He drew a star of David to the left. And above he writes Jordan, and he also writes this day. Now he continues to say here where we paused in the message, Time of Trouble and Deliverance. Dr. William Soto continues to say, but the angel of Jesus Christ and the group that will be with the angel of Jesus Christ, well, if the group that will be with the angel of Jesus Christ and the angel of Jesus Christ, they would be carrying out a work at that time, then they have to look for that instrument, and they have to look for those chosen ones, that group on earth. Because if they say no, it's because that angel of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the sixth dimension carrying out a work. He's over there. Oh, well, then the group also has to be over there. Then he would have to come with the group to fulfill all of that. And you're not them either. See? That ministerial spirit, the Holy Spirit working through that instrument, must be on earth. And also the group, both of them. But the angel of Jesus Christ and the group that will be with the angel of Jesus Christ will have the Archangel Michael and the Archangel Gabriel by their side. In other words, although there will be a struggle, there will be a victory in divine love, which is promised. Notice, there is a place here from the message, modern events are made clear by prophecy. He tells us there. Now we find out, Balaam, of course, he couldn't see. He went out and looked upon the people, said, I'm on page 16, said, now just a minute, we are great big people up here. You're just a scattered bunch, you see? And we all believe the same God. That's true. They all believed the same God. They all worship Jehovah. Look at Balaam's sacrifice. Seven altars, God's perfect number. The seven churches, see, seven rams, speaking of the coming of the Lord. Fundamentally, he was just as fundamental as Moses was. But, you see, there wasn't a divine vindication. They can have all the messages. They can have all the knowledge that they must have, that they can have. But if the divine vindication isn't there, it is of no use to them. In there, they were both prophets. But under Moses' ministry, there was a supernatural pillar of fire. Where was the pillar of fire seen? In a great tent cathedral. Therefore, anywhere that is not under the tent ministry, they don't have the pillar of fire with them. As simple as that. But under Moses' ministry, there was a supernatural pillar of fire, a light that hung with the camp. There was divine healing. There was a shout of the king in the camp. Great signs, divine healing, and wonders and things performed among them. It was a sign of a living God among his people. Fundamentally, they was both right. And Balaam tried to persuade the people and bewitch them into it. When? Just before they reach the promised land. Another day or two, they've been in the promised land. Did you see? That was a bit before. That is why he says that he would deceive, if possible, the elect. But it is not possible. Now, that paragraph that I'm going to read, there's a brief portion of this paragraph in the book of quotations, so that whoever would like to can search for it on page 170 from paragraph 1522. That's the paragraph that I'm going to read now. But now I'm afraid. This is a hard mark to make. Some of these days, I'll be shot for it. Here in this version, it said executed. And there are other places where he speaks about the Elijah or Elijah. In a writing, he says that Elijah will be killed. Other than 1000 or 1004, let us see here, there's a place where he had already on page 115, paragraph 1015. There he says, so I've always thought that would be my state someday. It's almost happened several times, as you know, of being shot in foreign nations, when they've had to hold their bodies over me, keep me from being shot at a distance. And above he writes, one day they're going to kill me, Elijah the Fifth. And here, he is speaking. What we read there was on the end of 63, on November 24th. And in this message, modern events are made clear by prophecy. He speaks about it again. On December 6th of 65, on the month that he departed. And notice, it was not fulfilled in him. But now I'm afraid this is a hard mark to make. Some of these days I'll be shot for it. But remember this, that the churches are being bewitched by this ecumenical council. He's taking you right into it to say, you're the same group. In other words, saying you're all the same group. Brother Branham says, you're not the same group. Come out from among that stuff and be separated. Certainly is, it's true. We're to keep away from that stuff as far as you can from it. That's the paragraph that is in the book of quotations. Now I'll continue here in the message, in the booklet. Balaam said, well, let's let our children marry together because, after all, we believe the same God. That's what any person who has a young man or a young woman may say. But no, he's Christian also. He believes in God. Remember, do not make unequal yokes. And also, the most advisable thing, even when you have your sight on a believer, try to have them be believers from the same country. And in that way, you can avoid certain things. The best thing is to have a partner from the same country. Although, notice, it has happened that couples have come together and there have been couples who have come from one country or from another, and they've formed a beautiful family, and they work in the work and everything. But what is most recommended is that they must be from the same country, because that way they avoid traveling one to one place and the other to another. Because many ask me, and my advice is for them to be from the same country. And in that way they can avoid having to come and go. And one may say, I just want to see my dad. He says, I want to see my dad also. Or I want to see my grandchildren. And then she can't, or she doesn't want to. Then these are the problems and situations that arise there, apart from the ones that are normally in marriages. Therefore, well, it's best for them to be from the same country. That is a recommendation, because each person has free will to do as they please. And also because of the cultures, which are different. Because first, at first glance, wow, everything is great. In other words, perhaps they don't see any of those little cultural things, because they will try to do the best, the man or the woman, to try to win the other over. But then, I didn't know that it was like that. I didn't know that this culture was like this, or that this is his nature. In other words, they could avoid many things. But I'll say it again, every person has free will and decides what is best for them and their family. Now he goes on to say, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? How can you walk with God lest you're agreed with his word? How can you add creeds and so forth to it when you're ordained not to do it? Or commanded not to do it? You can't do it. There is no way of doing it. Brother, sister, you can't mix that leaven with the unleavened. Oil and water will not mix. Darkness and light will not mix. Light's so much powerful, it just puts the darkness out. And so we cannot mix it together. Neither can you mix sin and the world together. You cannot mix church and denomination together. You can't mix church and creed together. You can't mix the world and the gospel together. It won't mix. Come out from among them, be ye separated, saith God. I'll receive you to myself. You'll be my sons and daughters. I'll be God to you. You can never do it until these things are manifested and the word of God for the hour is proved to be the truth. Follow in the footsteps. Pentecost, that's why Luther lost his message. That's how Wesley lost his message, see? If the Wesleyan church would have went on, they'd be Pentecostals. If the Lutherans went on, they'd be Methodists, see? There he draws a cornerstone on the right, and the last three ages. Now, if the Pentecostals go on, you'll be the bride. If you hang back and keep going back in the world, like you're going now, you'll be lost. It'll only be the shuck, and the stalk is to be burnt. You know that. He will gather his wheat into the garner, but the husks he'll burn with unquenchable fire, although it was a carrier. Notice, even if they carry the message and have the message, they will be burnt in the lake of fire. And the wheat would be what? Gathered. And that is done by the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. At this end time, in his last dispensation messenger, the Benjamin of the prophets. The one who is alive in the midst of the people. Because the rest already left. And he could say, O Lord, only I am left. And they seek my life to take it away. That's what the first Elijah said. And likewise in the fifth Elijah, notice, that is fulfilled again. He certainly carried it, but the life left it as soon as it became a leaf. It went on out to make something else until it comes to its full stature. And so will the church come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of gifts, right on into the form image of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride, and the bride is part of the bridegroom. It'll have to be a word church, not a denominational church. It'll be the word church, the word that's made known and with the vindicated word of God. What we read previously, it is the group that would have the divine vindication because they have the pillar of fire, which was seen in the vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, where he saw the pillar of fire speaking to somebody above him. Where did he see the pillar of fire? In a great tent cathedral, in the ministry under the tent. Now, Dr. William Soto goes on to say here, in time of trouble and deliverance, therefore, from one moment to the next, that squeeze will come. But remember, when that squeeze comes down, remember that it is the time for a great blessing from God to be manifested in the elect of God. It is for the adoption of all the elect of God who have worked in the work of Christ with the angel of Jesus Christ and will have finished the work while in mortal bodies. See? And therefore, they will continue the work in eternal, immortal, and glorified body. And we will be working in the work of Christ for about 30 to 40 days with the new body, and we will be carrying out the corresponding work for those days. We have seen on this occasion, in this subject that we have, of which we have been speaking about, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Let us stand and let us leave in this subject. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.